is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory, 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 oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh,
good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Good Monday morning. I don't know how Friday and Monday are so close together, but I promise you, as soon as I get power around this place, I'm going to petition the Queen and see if we could put a day in between Sunday and Monday that's not quite Sunday, but also not Monday, because I need a day in between now, all right? So this morning, here's what we're going to talk about. Many of you may have read the news over the weekend, and it is a very touchy situation, right? Of course, many of you would have heard of the allegations of sexual misconduct happening in and around Matthewtown in Nagua sometime last week involving Defense Force Marines, blah, 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 right? So you know the whole story. But to my chagrin, if you will, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force released a statement that I thought was disastrous, quite honestly. It was very strong language. It was quite using language that, in my estimation, implicated people. It was language that, to my estimation, had already come to a final position. It almost sounded to me as though we were basically explaining the way forward after the preliminary investigations had been done and that conclusive evidence had brought a guilty verdict in either direction. They use words like the victim has, the perpetrator has, and that kind of stuff is pretty interesting language. And, you know, I say it from time to time, well, I say it all the time, that people in power or people in places of public positions have to be very cautious with public relations. I don't understand. How is it that these men ascend to the levels that they ascend to, and then they become, I guess, gods unto themselves in that they make these statements that are so broad? I don't know whether or not they understand the public implications or what are the ramifications of utterances that come from their lips. I don't understand if they understand. When they speak, people listen. When they speak, people move. When they speak, things happen. And then a lot of times, whether we like to believe it or not, in very small populations where our judges and our doctors and our lawyers and our police officers all come from among us, it is already quite difficult to avoid nepotism in the Bahamas. It is already quite difficult not to have jaundiced views or not to believe things as the people of our ilk would believe them, because that is the way our society is kind of designed. And so when you take public office, right, when you ascend to commander of the defense force, commissioner of the police force, minister of national security, the words that you utter, prime minister, minister, director of labor, minister of labor, the words that you utter carry such a public weight that you ought to not just do so with reckless abandonment. You ought not ever overly commit yourself in language that is, in my opinion, so strong that you can almost not walk yourself back from it. Now, I'm no public relations expert. However, I do have a decent command of the Queen's language, or English. And what is interesting to me is we see these blunders from time to time in public relations communications. We see these blunders from time to time from public figures, right? I mean, for Christ's sakes, and I'm going to read the quote by the Minister of National Security. The man went on to talk about superior people of superior ranks looking at people of inferior ranks as objects. I don't even know how the minister got there. How then do we say that anyone who is relying on an investigation to be done by a police force that is under the remit of a minister that believes that somehow I objectified somebody to then be unconcerned that an investigation will not be done in a biased fashion towards me? These are the implications of public utterances. And we have to be very cautious about them. We have to be very concerned about how we approach public communications because they alter the minds of people. People hold on to them. You would recall that the Prime Minister, during the early days of the pandemic, pled with the Bahamian population. Please, give me 3 more weeks. And then he and his cronies get completely upset when the 3-week mark is arrived and everybody now is crying bloody murder because they want to know what happened or what went wrong. Well, the thing that went wrong, sir, was you in public office said to us, Joe Public or John Public, that you needed 3 weeks. Well, we have calendars in our house. We know exactly where the 3-week mark starts. We know where it ought to stop. So can you really hold it against us when we hold it against you that you came into the public space and made this utterance? And I think a lot of what happens is because it happens without consequence. And I am of the opinion that more people ought to start suing public figures. It is very simple. If you make a statement that I in any way believe impugns in any way my character or biases my possibility of a fair trial, I want to sue you. But that's just Levin Miller. That is the gospel according to Levin Miller. And you don't have to take any of it and apply it to your life. I'm just telling you what I think, right? And so because I'm not a professional, I've brought in a professional. I've brought in a public relations professional, somebody with 7 years in public relations and marketing. She is as professional as they come, actually. Voted one of the persons 40 under 40, yeah? And she has studied away and has a bachelor's degree and she's really smart, right? Because you'll never like to take my word for anything. But we've got to fix this. There is just no way, there is no way that a minister of national security can get up in an interview when asked about a matter that is before the police for investigation. When asked about his opinion about it, there's just no way that that minister ought to say the things that I heard the minister said last week. Because I cannot understand how he does not understand the implications of a statement when he says something as serious as ask about his thoughts on the policy, Mr. Dames replied, fraternization policy or not, when you are employed, be it in the private or public sector, you expect that you go into an environment where there is decency and respect for others, no matter where they sit in the business or in the agency. But there are laws out there to deal with anyone who takes the position that an employee is a thing or an object, especially those who are subordinate, and so the law is sufficient to this point to deal with any matter of such nature, and I expect that in any of the agencies, especially those that fall under my remit that the leadership will take the appropriate action to ensure that all employees are safe, but I am not concerned that this is a problem in the agency. You mean after you tell us that one of the persons is an officer and one of the persons is a Marine? You mean after the Defense Force issues a statement saying that the victim has been sent to do counseling and the perpetrator, who's writing this stuff? Who is writing it? Anyway, Latoya Hannah Moxie joins me this morning. This get me hot under the collar. You gotta excuse me. Latoya Hannah Moxie joins me this morning in studio. And we're talking about effective public relations. The damages of not having effective public relations in public office. And how do we clean up, Latoya, this kind of stuff? So, Latoya, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That was a lot.
Well, I mean, in this day and age, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Help me. Am I alone here? Am I like in a wilderness with my disgust with this slack communication that we see in our public officials?
Well, I think there's a lot of moving parts to the situation, and I think we need to be mindful and aware that we're dealing with humans and with people, and there's a way to handle things. And I think that more often than not, we're missing the opportunity to make sure that the message that we want to send is accurate, is fair, is honest, and is unbiased. And I think we do a really bad job with making sure we stay on point with the message. I don't know if it's fair for me to say that you should be in disgust or not. Mm-hmm. Your feelings are your feelings. You're entitled to your feelings, you know. As all Bahamians, I know if it was personally a relative of mine, I'd definitely be in disgust. Or if I've seen something happen over and over and over again, yeah, it would be warranted my feelings. The usage of the language that's always presented, it sometimes leaves you baffling or baffled as to try to figure out what was the reason behind it. Is it personal opinions? Mm-hmm. Is it a thought? Were you informed of information in a certain way that would bring you to these conclusions?
Right.
And I just feel like we've been missing the mark a lot on how we should be delivering the message in the public and the private sector. And that's something that we've struggled with in the Bahamas for a long time. Public relations is that area that it's a very saturated market here in the Bahamas, but we don't really do right by it. And and these statements that we're seeing more often than not, especially over the last year, from Hurricane Dorian to now, statements being made in the press by government officials, by chairmen, by CEOs, by senior representatives. Yeah, some of them are cringeworthy because they're not being directed properly on what they should be saying.
When you as a Marcom expert hear this stuff though, like when you hear it, you've used the word cringeworthy, right? But no, to my mind, like, do you ever turn on the radio and you hear an interview? Like, do you think to yourself, what? What did he just say?
Well, I mean, not even on interviews. Sometimes in real life, I hear things and I'm like, really? Okay. And the first thing I think is, do they actually have a team? Do they have a PR team? Do they have somebody in communications who is leading or setting the tone? Who's creating the narrative? Was the conversation well thought of before the words came out of your mouth?
Well, in the Bahamas, you only need to be tall and have a deep voice to be press liaison officer, apparently. That's all you need around.
Well,
yeah. Be tall, be able to fit well in a uniform or a suit, right? And be able to have relatively good diction.
Bam, I mean, perfect. Listen, I just feel like crisis management is something that we struggle with in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. We don't plan for crisis management. Mm-hmm. It's been proven that we do not plan for crisis management. The way we respond to situations is very much a knee-jerk reaction. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it a lot. And I'll be honest, the media has a lot to do with it as well. Sometimes people aren't prepared to speak to the media. Mm-hmm. They have knee-jerk reactions. They have moments of impulsiveness. And foot and mouth syndrome.
I'm glad you said
sometimes
that.
Happens.
How important is it for people in positions of power to understand the power of a no comment statement?
Oh, well, first of all, in rule number one in PR is you're never to say no comment. Mm. It's understood that if there's certain things you're not aware of or abreast of, there should be no comment.
Right.
Until you have done your due diligence yourself. Mm-hmm. Find out the facts, find out the story, create the message, sit with your crisis management team, find out who's your spokesperson, who is going to be the one to lead the message, create the message. If you made a misstep, which 9 times out of 10, if you are in the business of speaking, you are going to make a misstep.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. What you do to fix that misstep is very important.
Mm-hmm.
How much time you take before you fix the misstep.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding if you should speak or not speak is something important to know as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who's speaking on behalf of the company, the organization, the entity? What are the words that are coming out of their mouths? Is it going to be something that is representative of how the greater organization feels? And so what I'm finding is that in this particular situation where the Minister of National Security spoke, it seems as though he did not speak with understanding the full gamut of the situation.
Or that he's come to a foregone conclusion of some sort.
I think he was definitely teetering on being politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to understand when you refer to people as entities, objects as such,
mm-hmm.
you have to be mindful there's a human element in play here. Referring to people as victims and perpetrators and using the word allegations. Like there are trigger words that mm-hmm. you have to be very careful of. In using when you're putting out a statement, because that statement can actually decide whether or not this is how you feel
mm-hmm.
or this is what the organization believes.
Mm.
And being able to set that apart there's a very fine line there. And I think some people would have thought he crossed that line.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would honestly think that, again, he's being politically correct. As Minister of National Security, he has to be very careful not to say the wrong things that could
sure.
implicate how he feels versus
sure, but,
how the organization feels.
But the organization has released a press release, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's god-awful, by the way. I'm going to read pieces of it for you.
Okay.
But the organization has released a press release. As Minister, I imagine, the only thing that you would come out here and say is, listen, I trust the command of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
They have informed me that there are protocols to deal with things of this nature.
Yeah.
Those protocols will be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I will stay in close conference with the commander. He will appraise me of what the situation on the ground is. And,
yeah.
I assure you that as soon as we have something to report, my office will contact the media houses and we will get back to you on a case by case or step by step kind of scenario. A very perfect, non-committing, non-implying, no implication statement.
Yeah. But see, again,
what is behind the fanfare of needing to say the perfect thing?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't think it was him needing to say the perfect thing. I think it was him just teetering on caution.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to do that, especially when we have a media system that's set up where they're waiting for you to say something that they can repeat to remind you of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
And to add to that, again, the layers of not having the proper protocols established in dealing with crisis management in our government is something that we've been challenged with.
Mm-hmm.
There should have been someone before there was a mic, a recorder or something thrusted in his face or a phone call or an interview agreed to. There should have been a team, a person sitting with him
mm-hmm.
to really dissect and analyze the situation verbatim from start to finish. Catch me up to speed on what's going on. How do you feel as the public relations expert?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel professionally we should handle the situation? The onus should not fall on the person who's responsible to manage
mm-hmm.
the situation to be the one to know and have all the answers. That's the honest to God's truth. It should not, his emotions, his thought processes, personal opinions will become what they are.
Will become public
what they are.
Pronouncements,
and,
right.
And that's what happened. And so what should have happened from a PR perspective is that he should have been engaged with the right persons, protocol being established between he, the Commodore, their legal team, their public relations
officer.
They don't
have one of those.
Well, see, herein lies one of our problems. When we speak in the public relations
mm-hmm.
is missing. And so we find ourselves again, many a time, saying the wrong things, saying personal things, creating affirmations that we feel is right or just and not based on how things should be said. Blanket statements also is something you should stay far away from as well, because when you create a level of indifference, it also shows that you don't really care.
Right.
You're just protecting yourself as opposed to protecting the organization or protecting the parties involved in the situation. Mm-hmm. And so indifference isn't something that I would suggest either. It's important to just be honest. Be honest and candid. I do not feel as though the statements that were made created the message that needed to be said. There were some contradictory things that were said in the interview or in the press release where it was stated that he felt as though he was not concerned about the safety of officers in the organization. Mm-hmm. However, this situation is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it?
Yeah.
If
yeah,
something
yeah.
has happened in an organization. It
doesn't seem like a linear message.
You know, if it affects one person, it affects all.
Quite possibly.
So if you don't have, if you have a problem with one thing, you could potentially have a problem.
You could probably have
period.
A crisis on your hand. So the press statement by the force said, mm-hmm. the alleged perpetrator was immediately relieved of his duties, right? That in itself mm-hmm. sounds like an implication, right? Not that we have removed him and put him to desk duties, or we have removed him and pending his investigation or an internal inquiry.
Yeah.
He was relieved of his duties. The implications of it just doesn't sound right, right? And then you call the man a perpetrator, an alleged perpetrator, not the persons concerned, mm-hmm. have X, Y, and Z. So we have basically categorized two people, that there is a predator here, and there is a victim. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you come to that conclusion, except there is a full-fledged investigation, right?
Which allegedly was not completed.
Which is obviously not completed because mm-hmm. no one's been charged for anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, it goes on and then says, he was immediately relieved of his duties and will be extracted from the island today. Watch more implicating language. Today, via police air support. Well, Jesus, if the police plane bringing me to Nassau, I imagine I am under arrest. I imagine that they found something that, I'm just trying to figure out who is painting this. The picture just doesn't sound good. It doesn't mm-hmm. look right. And you know what I immediately thought? Maybe there was a desire by the command to not seem laissez-faire, to not seem as if it was sitting on its hand. We yeah. want to look like we are forceful and... But you have to remember that particularly in matters like this, there is something called the presumption of innocence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you do not have a right, no matter what you find me doing, to assume that I am guilty.
Yeah.
Until a court deems me guilty, right? And so, you again, in very small societies, you have to be very cautious about how you go about with public communication, because now what you've done
yeah.
is tainted the pool. And yeah. nobody wants to swim in a pool, you know, that's been peed in.
I mean, I think in a situation like this, and I'd like to think that it's an isolated situation, the rape allegation that is not the way it was handled. I would think that it's definitely a learning lesson for the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and I guess in by and large the Ministry of National Security in how you handle statements, because when you start to think about the message you want to get across to everyone, it has to be a united message.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you are wrong or right will always be debatable in the court of public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing should never be confusing is what your message is.
Right.
And I think that message, I wouldn't say it was confusing, but it's kind of misleading. You're creating public perception before mm-hmm. there's an opportunity for the truth to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're already setting a precedence of the direction you would normally go.
That's what I got.
And so you have to be so careful of putting certain statements out that could implicate you, your position, and how you feel. Because it's really not about you.
Right.
It's not even about your organization at this point. I think it goes a little bit further than public relations. It goes on the protocol that we establish in dealing with legal issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because this has now become a criminal investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Minister of National Security, who is a former law officer himself, mm-hmm. understands the direction that this this situation would be going in from start to finish. So knowing that, I would like to think that he was aware of, you know, what implications the statements could make.
These statements don't suggest that to me. I tell you, I read it over the, and I read it like 10 times, right? So there are other statements, like public statements that we're going to get to in this show, but let me just read this last line. It says, counseling led by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force chaplain is being prepared for the alleged victim and all the other individuals affected psychologically by the incident. The Commander Defense Force stressed that the administration does not condone or support sexual assaults. And then I thought about that. I said, well, so we are engaging an entire arm for counseling of the victims when we don't know who the victims are, right? Well, like, or we haven't conclusively decided that, when technically that should be, mind you, very necessary. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine that everyone here needs some level of trauma counseling at this present time.
Yeah.
Whether perpetrator or otherwise, right? Because we need to get to the bottom of what drove people in this direction. And then I also thought that the language that's to suggest that the Commodore himself descended from Mount Olympus to make the pronouncement that, oh, we do not... When there are regional commanders to deal with these sorts of things, there are commanders. It is almost as though if you work in C-suite type companies, when the CEO comes down, you know that today is not a good day.
Yeah.
And so you never want to suggest that the top chair needed to come down and deal with this, because then what does that say about your entire senior flank that, is beneath the top chair and the supporting management flank that sits beneath that flank? You get the picture that obviously there can be partiality done here, because now no one can speak behind the commander. No one is going to try and upset him. People are going to try to carry out what they assume is his intent.
I understand the intention. I get it. And this is a very serious matter, because there has been allegations. Whether there has been a thorough investigation, I'm not aware. I'm not sure. However, you want, in public relations, you want to make sure that you don't sit relaxed on a situation. So they had to speak out. That's first and foremost. They had to speak out. Who was the right person to speak out is debatable at this point. When you think about the trauma and the storyline in which he proceeded to give us as it relates to the counseling and how they view sexual harassment, and I think it was almost putting the cart before the horse.
Right.
It was not the time for that part of the message to be spoken. That part of the message could have been put on pause until the investigation is completed.
Correct.
And then once you have your findings, apparently it was alleged that the quote-unquote victim had seen a doctor. And based on the examination, it's been made to be aware that there was something that would allude to the fact that she was mishandled, misused, misabused, or abused, rather. And so I have not seen thoroughly what this story is about. I've only seen snippets of it, so I can't really speak to the ins and outs of
it. Sure.
However, what I can say is the aspect of adding to the storyline who needs counseling, the trauma, the abuse, it's too premature to state your position on that right now, because you're still trying to figure out what really happened. And in trying to figure out and understand what really happened, you want to get to that place where you have the facts, you have both sides and accounts of the story. Every person who needs to be aware and informed is informed, so that when anyone speaks on behalf of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, the message is the same. And what I'm gathering is it's not.
Okay, so let's switch gears before they say that I turned it into a Defense Force show. It was just that is the most recent one that made me wanted to kind of vomit.
To be continued.
Right? The Commissioner of Police. Yes. I'm sure you must have heard of the kerfuffle the commissioner found himself in when he said, and let me say again, I believe that in keeping with Bahamian colloquialism, the commissioner wasn't inappropriate if you consider Bahamian colloquialism, right?
Yes, culturally.
Culturally, I don't think the commissioner was in the wrong room, right? I think that as commissioner, there is a way to say something that is quite similar that would have gotten quite a different response, right? Yeah. And so the commissioner says, I cannot tell you all why the suicides in 2020 were greater than the suicides in 2019. As a matter of fact, if you checked the attempted suicides in 2019, you will see that there were more attempted suicides in 2019 than there were in 2020. The people just seem to have had more success with suicides in 2020. Now, what I do know, he also went on to say, so I cannot speak to why there was more because I do not have the data. Then he went on to say,
that's where he should have stopped.
What I do know is that we have investigated some of these matters, and what we have found is that some of them were as a direct result of domestic disputes where men are having problems with their women.
Another place you could have stopped.
And if you looked at his body language and gestures, right? I could see the poor commissioner just ran out of words, right? So the commissioner then says, and some of the guys are weak. And they commit suicide because of the difficulties they're having with their ladies, right? Or with their females, is what he said. I'm trying to quote him as closely as possible. Colloquially, if that same statement was made, I don't know, at any watering hole, there would have been nothing wrong with that statement. All right? The commissioner could have said, if the commissioner had simply taken the word weak out and says, some of the guys do not have what it takes to walk away. Some of the guys do not possess the wherewithal. But the word weak was the trigger word
But it's more than just a word weak. I want to go back to the fact that we're going to touch on that word weak in a minute. But I want to make it clear that when you're making public statements, your personal opinion is not a part of that. It should not be a part of that. And unless you have statistical data, proof, or facts to show that where someone or to assert your view, it is irrelevant.
Correct.
You must, when you start speaking
publicly, especially in public office.
Yes, you're speaking publicly on the behalf of not yourself, not your family, not your friends, but on the governing body in which you're representing, you have to be mindful that your personal views, your thoughts, or something not to back up a factual statement should not be said. And so the first part A of his statement was
perfect.
Fine.
It was flawless, actually.
It was based on the statistical data. It was factual. He was headed in the right direction. Part B of his statement was also
still wasn't bad because as commissioner, he does have that information.
You have this information that you can speak on it, not from your personal experiences, but from what you have experienced professionally in your industry, in your organization, from social services, from crisis center, from your own data. Where you start to lose the message, and this is, as Bahamian people, we always pay attention to the wrong things, you know? You could say 10 right things, but you say one wrong thing,
that's 7 o'clock
news. That's the new message. And that's what happened in this instance. He took the word weak from his vocabulary,
right,
which could have been, any other adjective.
He could have literally said they are unable to walk away.
He didn't even have to say they are unable. He just had to, he could have walked away. When you think about trigger words, and again, this is one of those cringeworthy moments where we talked about at the beginning of the show. You listen to some of the things that persons are saying publicly, and you're like, oh dear God, this is going to go left. And in that moment, I don't think that he even realized the severity of the usage of that word. When you're creating and narrating a language that invokes your personal view into something, you are representing that organization. You're making it appear as though this is how you all feel. By what standard gives you that right, that authority to say that these persons are weak? When we think about the suicide rates in the Bahamas and the reasons, he could have been across from somebody's aunt, uncle, brother who had committed suicide. You think about the bigger picture of how your words affect the narrative. You know, you may have employees that may have been subject to these experiences. And so you've just referred to their loved one as weak.
Right.
the message that you're creating is now way bigger than what you had intended to create because of that one trigger word. And had he been spoken to or briefed, and if there was a proper level of protocol, because really and truly, maybe he was not the best person to even make the statement.
Well, it was the commissioner's meet the press. So the commissioner has to do this one.
He had to do that one to a certain extent.
Right.
You have to understand where enough is enough. This, right. That's it. Thank you very much
but
for coming.
But his press officer should walk him through that.
That's
Sir,
my
hear
point.
What we are here to talk that, about
that's
today.
That's my point.
We are not here.
He was not briefed properly. Okay. Or if he was briefed properly, he decided, I don't know if it was a level of excitement, or I don't know, or he was definitely very emotionally involved in the situation that he decided to inject his personal views. But again, when you make public statements on behalf of your organization, you are as a representative of that organization, you have to stay on message. You have to, it has to be drilled in your mind. I cannot say this.
Okay.
If I say this, I will be responsible for what repercussions.
What about the cleanup? Because there's a follow-up story by the commissioner, or reference the commissioner. It says, Police Commissioner Paul Rowe last night apologized for his comments, I think it was the very next day, about the suicide victims, but claimed his remarks were sparked by questions from, quote, pushy journalists.
Yeah, so I will say, the first thing is, I give him credit for coming right on air the next day and issuing a statement or an apology.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely PR 101. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure, you cannot sleep on a misstep as such, on a gross misstep as such. You have to be quick, very quick-witted with changing the narrative. Because you're now, at this point, you're telling a story. At this point, you're telling people how you really feel about situations that You shouldn't have
feelings.
Yes.
But he also went on to say his point was he wanted to make it clear that there was no evidence that suggested that people were committing suicides as a result of the pandemic. I think he had gotten so wrapped up in...
Well, that was admirable.
In that?
Yes.
That he kind of slipped, you know, off
I mean, I think that... And it happens. I mean, let's be real. Human error is a thing, you know. It happens. There's a lot of foot and mouth syndrome that goes around. When you become so emotionally invested, involved in something, you sometimes say the wrong things. And I think that's what happened. And I do applaud him for coming on the next day and not waiting 24 hours, 48 hours to let marinate. But the damage was already done.
Right.
So
what about blaming the media, though? I mean, it's...
No, I was going to say, post-crisis, you should never... One of the things you do in PR is blame your attacker. That is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is a thing. And I guess he saw the media as an attacker. when really and truly that was not the case.
Right.
If you are well briefed and prepared for the media, then you will not see them or view them as the enemy.
Own it and walk away.
Their job is to get the information needed to share it.
Mm-hmm.
The words that come out of your mouth is something that you are responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
You hold accountability for it. So you cannot blame the media for your lack of accountability or control or quote unquote verbal diarrhea. You cannot blame the media because there are so many opportunities for the media to come at you when you aren't ready.
Right.
But this is why you have to have crisis management planning. Before these things happen, you need media training.
So, okay, in the vein of retracted statements, right? Mm-hmm. Because you and I, we chatted a bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was one instance that you and I both agreed that there shouldn't have been a retracted statement. Mm-hmm. You and I and everybody listening would recall the utterances of Bishop Neil Clarence Ellis, right?
Yes.
When he talked about, you know, the prime minister being a god unto himself, et cetera, et cetera. And then he said, which people misquoted, and it doesn't help when the man in the chair doesn't believe in God. Well, he wasn't, or he has also said that his statements, first of all, was not attributed to the prime minister.
I was going to say, that's the first thing.
And, I mean, it is very common public knowledge that the financial secretary of the Bahamas is a proclaimed atheist, right? And the bishop suggests...
And some others.
Right. And the bishop suggests that, you know, his statements had nothing to do with the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
And the bishop was speaking about the economy, which would then very easily attach the FS to that story.
Mm-hmm.
But the bishop recanted his statement the very next day. I thought it watered down the message.
Yeah.
I thought that the bishop receives his mandate from on high. I just don't know if you could retract a statement from God.
Oh, no. Well, okay.
God say, tell you all.
Well, no. In theory, yes. But right. I mean, if I were to have been in the position to have advised the Bishop Ellis on the situation, I definitely would have advised him not to retract, recant, mm-hmm. or apologize. And here's why. There's several reasons. He was not, number one, in a public forum.
Right.
Speaking on any other behalf than that of his job.
Right.
When you, I'll give you an example. When you call an all-staff meeting and you have a conversation with your employees, mm-hmm. is that public knowledge?
No.
No. The only thing that was made public was the fact that it was live streamed.
Right.
We have pastors every single day that have their mic as a sound system to relay a message.
Right.
Some aren't fortunate enough for their messages to gain such attention mm-hmm. as Bishop Ellis's did. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest difference. A lot of people who have the hand in the mic on a Sunday morning mm-hmm. say a lot worse,
right?
But don't have the opportunity to have it under a microscope the way right. Bishop Ellis did. Having said that, he was in a private sanctuary, mm-hmm. a private area, private mm-hmm. room, private institution, speaking to his congregation.
To his parishioners, right.
And in the realm of theology, his mandate is to teach and preach the gospel, right. which he did. And he used examples to portray the message.
Right.
That's what he did. He was not speaking on behalf of any entity, any public figures. Mm-hmm. He was not even speaking on behalf of himself.
Right.
He was actually just teaching and preaching a message.
Right.
He did not call any names.
Correct.
He did not defame or berate or tarnish the image of anyone you can call by name.
Right.
And they have a saying, if the shoe fits or the cap fits, wear it. So right. if you feel some type of way, then that's maybe some self-reflection or mm-hmm. some rumination on your part. Mm-hmm. But his message, he has a mandate to preach a message every Sunday.
Right.
And it's if your feelings are going to be hurt by the message of a pastor, a bishop, or
you
an apostle,
just go to a different church.
Maybe you shouldn't be listening to live stream right. because there will be you are in the industry where people speak about you all the time.
Right.
And so if your ego is going to take precedence over the matter of hand, which is him speaking to his congregation, then I'm not sure that that's the right platform for you to be in as in a leadership role. And that's from a professional standpoint. Now, if he had called a certain name, mm-hmm. if he had looked at live stream camera and put the mic to his mouth.
And say, y'all broadcast this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then we could be having a different conversation. Him recanting his statement actually did two things. I understood where he was going with it. It created a level of humility. Mm-hmm. in him, and he wanted to invoke that message. Mm-hmm. I, too, am not above God. I make missteps or errors. If he wholeheartedly felt as though he was wrong, mm-hmm. then yes, apologize, because that's your personal belief. Mm-hmm. However, you must know that the words that you spoke to your congregation and by and large to people listening at home, these people rely and relay on your message, the mm-hmm. message sent from God. Mm-hmm. As a Christian nation, this mm-hmm. is what we believe. Recanting what you are teaching and preaching people is also a reflection of you watering down your strength and your
right.
position.
Right.
And that's something he should never be placed in a position to do.
Mm.
So I would not have recanted. They have this state of the saying, be wrong and strong.
Right.
You be wrong and strong to the debt.
Yes.
And when you are done and that's that it. Message is delivered.
Kill me if you all
should
want.
Should 4, 5, 6, 7 months pass and you had a change of heart.
You come back and say, you know something, after I sought the Lord.
I've ruminated on this. I've had some introspection. And, right. and there are some things, we will never get it right 100% all of the time.
Yeah.
And there are some things I probably could have said differently, mm-hmm. done differently. Do I still feel the way I felt?
My message is
wholeheartedly.
The same. Yeah.
My message is the same. However, my delivery could have been different. That's something you could have said later. But recanting or retracting a statement of such strong values mm-hmm. as you relate to your congregation on a Sunday is something that should never be done. Not at all.
Linear messaging in public communications. Last week, the Minister of Labor said in an interview with the Nassau Guardian, and it reads, the Minister of Labor, Dion Folks, said yesterday that he believes unemployment is, quote, drastically down. This is also a quote. Since the pandemic started, I am confident, based on the evidence that we see in the economy, that the unemployment rate has drastically come down. He said outside of cabinet, quote, Everything was on standstill, and most businesses put their workers on temporary layoffs. That has now changed. Most of the people are now coming back to work. This was last week, Tuesday, right? This morning, the director of labor is quoted in the Nassau Guardian as saying, director of labor, John Pinder, said yesterday, 40% of Behaviour residents are still not working amid the COVID-19 pandemic. There are two different statistics that we have to look at. Pinder told the Nassau Guardian, the Department of Labor is not the official government agency that deals with statistics. But I am saying that 30 to 40% is persons who find themselves not working. Not working means that some of them are also furloughed. The importance of this is the minister, and if I understand the way the hierarchy of the Ministry of Labor works, it's minister, PS, director.
Yes.
Okay. What should the public be understanding at this point? Are we back? Like, you know, or are we not back?
When the glory no. We're not back. I think they're confusing people is what they're really doing. They're confusing people. Who should they be listening to? That message is so unclear. It's crazy. They need to decide who is going to be the spokesperson delivering this message. And is it based on facts? Because there's two different messages here.
Mm-hmm.
There's two very different messages. And it's clear as a Bahamian citizen, and this is outside of the realm of PR, we are not back.
All right, we're going to a break. We're going to a break. LaToya Hannah-Moxie is my guest this morning. We're in studio talking about the importance of public pronouncements and public communication. Don't go anywhere. We're going to the break. I'll be right back.
Become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion
to us. If you are 65 or older, it is important for you to get immunized. Immunizations are not just for children. As you age, you are more at risk for illnesses like pneumonia. The pneumococcal vaccine protects against certain pneumonias and boosts your immunity. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Prevent disease. Immunize, please. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes each and every one of us to grow the Bahamas. On the clock, we dive into the stories, we identify the issues, and we engage the people, organizations, and institutions that keep the country running. On the Clock with Aaron Green, weekdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. Some persons may get worried and feel stressed whenever there's an outbreak of diseases like COVID-19. Do not panic. It is better to be informed and prepared. Talk to a healthcare professional about your concerns. Make a plan for how you will keep your home and workspace clean and disinfected. Practice proper hygiene and preventative actions such as proper hand washing and coughing and sneezing etiquette. Stay informed about local COVID-19 updates from trusted and reliable sources.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning, welcome back. Levin Miller here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And I'm unleashed on your radio every week morning at 11, so I don't know what you do at 11, but if you're driving, just, you know, kind of, do you still have knobs on radios? If you don't, take the face. No, that'll make the radio cut off. Do whatever you have to do to make sure that the radio never leaves Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, because I'm going to be here every morning at 11, and I want you to join me. I have a text right here that says, I think it's not that they don't prepare for speeches. In fact, the people speaking in public don't care. And most politicians don't even do a good job at lying to the public. The only thing transparent about the government now is that there's nowadays is their lies. Okay. Someone here says, I totally agree with you, Levin. The expression of the Commodore was very implicating, forming a COPA, court of public opinion. In his position, he should have known better to be subjected in his expressions and less intentional. The minister, not the Commodore. Okay. Hi, look at the person who got fired last week for saying women talks too much. Where did that happen? Good morning. I recall that after the student died, when he was punished by the teacher, Dame Dumont, the minister, handled it admirably, saying that the ministry has responsibility for both the student and the teacher, and that there would be an official announcement after the teacher and parent received counseling. I thought that's pretty decent. Miller, these politicians and people from the crisis center love to accuse men, but never come back and apologize when they are wrong. The person who made the false claims are never charged or locked up. We need to start doing intensive investigation before men's lives are ruined. Sue ministers and police. Leaving every time the commissioner is interviewed, he always is short-tempered and says insulting and harsh things. What does this say? You have to text me in English. And harsh things, it seems he's saying things like this makes one tough, I guess. All right, so LaToya, more Marcom matters. We got about 4 minutes left, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The recent video of Nicole Martin. Mm. What are your views? PR blunder or?
Definitely PR disaster.
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 Blunder, not strong enough a word?
No. And I mean, again, I try not to inject my personal views and mm-hmm. things because they really don't matter. But from when I put my PR hat on, and actually somebody had sent me the video and asked me my thoughts on that. And the first thing I asked was, what is this? Mm-hmm. So I was already unclear as to what the whole point of the experience was. I'll just call it that. Mm-hmm. We're on the brink of an election mm-hmm. right now, and the governing party has a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And I think what the focus should be on with new candidates and returning candidates that are coming, you need to let people know what you intend on doing.
Right.
And you can't do that by showing them a song and a dance. Mm-hmm. That should not be the first thing out the gate. They want to know. I won't call any names, but there is a new candidate on the opposition that has done a really good job
stressing you and I think about the same
candidate. And expressing the message. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not this person will be able to do the job mm-hmm. will remain to be seen. That's mm-hmm. something we cannot predict. However, they're doing an amazing job showing their constituents or potential constituents what they are about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's missing. Mm-hmm. You cannot, this is no time for fun and games. Mm-hmm. We are in serious times right now. We have over 8,000 persons that have been testing positive for COVID. We're still reeling from the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian. We have over 40%, according to Pinder, of joblessness and unemployment.
Unless you listen to folks.
Right? You know, we have so many issues in this country right now that if you want to come back as a minister or be a minister or a cabinet minister or a minister of parliament, people need to take you seriously, mm-hmm. which means your message needs to be serious. And I do not think that was first impressions are lasting, and that mm-hmm. was not a good one.
Someone here says, good morning. Just to understand you better, are you saying not to use the word weak to describe persons because that doesn't show empathy? I also think everyone can have a moment of weakness and can make a mistake or do something that they regret.
Showing a moment of weakness is not the issue. That you have to be careful and mindful of trigger words, mm-hmm. especially if you have no proof. If mm-hmm. you have no proof as to say that someone has been weak, mm-hmm. then it's a baseless word to use. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
That's all you got. You got about 10 seconds. Tell people, how do they find you and how do they get in contact with you and how do they stop this god-awful public relations?
Well, it's definitely not something that's going to happen overnight. It's going to be a lot of years in the making. We need to give public relations professionals more of an opportunity to school organizations, entities, businesses, even the government. We need to give us the respect of showing you, teaching you through training. Through engagement, conversation on the things that you should
say.
Give
them your contact.
You can reach me at l.moxie on Instagram. That's the best way. Or I am lmoxie@gmail.com or letwork@thehannawaygroup.com.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me. You know me. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't go anywhere. They've got news for you next.
Oh, one day when the war
be sure.